Chapter 6. After Ty Ray and his friends left, Darryl sat alone on the sidewalk. His whole body was shaking. When the boys were out of sight, he started gathering the oranges that were not ruined. Though the bag had been slashed, Darryl had no choice but to use it to carry the remaining oranges home. Each time he took a step, an orange would slip out through the hole. He was bending to pick up an orange that had rolled into the street when he heard someone behind him.
"Here's an extra bag, honey,"
said a heavy-set woman holding two bags. She was emptying one by moving a few groceries to the other.
"That bag of yours ain't good for nothing."
"Thank you," said Darryl, gratefully taking the bag.
He started packing oranges into it.
"You're welcome, child," the woman said. "I don't believe I've seen you around here before."
"I just moved here from Philadelphia. I live a few blocks up the street. My name is Darryl," he told her as he put the last orange into the bag.
Darryl was glad to find that most of the fruit was intact. Only six oranges were too crushed to keep.
"Well, I'm Mrs. Davis. I live in that apartment house at the corner. Just me and my grandson Harold. I'm raising him all by myself," she said, pausing.
She seemed lost in thought for a second. Then she asked,
"Say, you wouldn't be going to Blueford, would you?"
"Yeah, I'm a freshman there," Darryl said.
"Well, praise the Lord," Mrs. Davis cheered. "The good Lord must have intended us to meet, because my grandson Harold, he's a freshman too. That poor child is having a tough time in high school because he's so shy. He needs some friends to talk to. You seem like a nice boy. Would you look for Harold in school and try to make friends with him? I'd be so grateful."
"Yeah, I can do that," Darryl said.
He knew who Harold was. He was the guy who seemed to nod at him during algebra. Now Darryl knew why the boy had not spoken to him. Harold was shy.
"You know, Darryl, Harold's life ain't always been easy. Sometimes he's so quiet it's like he's crawled into a shell. And oh, how I worry. Just look for him sitting by himself in a corner somewhere," Mrs. Davis said.
Darryl noticed that her description described him as much as it did Harold.
"I'll find him, Mrs. Davis," Darryl promised. "And thanks for helping me."
"Wasn't any trouble at all," she said. "Oh, one more thing, child. Don't let Harold know I talked to you. He would feel bad about that. Just act like you ran into him by accident."
"Okay,"
Darryl agreed. A big smile spread across the woman's wide face. Then she turned around and walked towards her apartment on the corner. Darryl hoisted the bag of oranges onto his shoulder and went home. It seemed like days had passed since he left to go to the supermarket, but the living room clock indicated that only an hour had gone by. Exhausted, Darryl put the fruit in the kitchen, went to his bedroom, and closed the door. He never wanted to go outside again, let alone go back to school tomorrow. Darryl flopped on his bed and stared at the ceiling.
"What am I going to do about Ty Ray?" he wondered.
Even if he dodged him tomorrow morning by taking the back way to school, he would run into Ty Ray eventually. He felt trapped. He and his mother could not afford to give money to Ty Ray every day. But if he did not, he knew he would suffer. He had to do something, but what?
"If only I were bigger and stronger," Darryl thought, "then Ty Ray would leave me alone."
But how could he make himself stronger? Darryl thought about Mr. Dooling's words. "Sports help you build strength and confidence." Still, he could not picture himself playing basketball or running track. He could not see himself wrestling either. Darryl remembered what the kid in his gym class had said. If Darryl joined the wrestling team, he would be the practice dummy. Darryl thought about Ty Ray again. In his mind, he replayed all that had happened after dinner. Again, he felt Ty Ray's spit landing on his cheek and smelled his stinking breath. Again, he saw Ty Ray's face mocking him. But the worst was the laughter. Alone in his quiet room, Darryl could still hear Ty Ray and his friends laughing. Enraged, he slammed his fist into his pillow. Then Darryl dropped to the floor and began doing push-ups. When he finally went to bed, his arms felt like rubber bands. That night, He dreamt he was trapped on the street again with Tyree and his friends. They were stomping and crushing round objects on the ground just as they had a few hours earlier. Only in this dream, the objects were not oranges. They were tiny human heads, and each one had a face, Darryl's face. The next morning, Darryl jogged to school using back streets to avoid Tyree. At one point, he thought he saw Tyree and Rodney in the distance, but Darryl moved so quickly they did not seem to notice him. When Darryl neared Blueford, he blended into a large crowd of students moving towards the school. Once inside, he hurried to his locker and rushed to class. He did not want to be caught in the hallway. Darryl was relieved when he made it to English class and Tyree and Rodney were not there. But the two boys arrived several minutes later. Tyree scowled at Darryl as he came into the classroom. Darryl pretended not to see him. Though Mr. Mitchell was at the chalkboard when they entered, Tyree still managed to elbow Darryl as he walked by his desk. The teacher did not seem to notice. After class started, Tyree glared back at Darryl a few times. Once he even made a fist and punched into his palm, making a slapping sound. Darryl tried his best to ignore him, but he was scared. Halfway through the class, Mr. Mitchell noticed what Tyree was doing.
"Mr. Hobbs," Mr. Mitchell said, "to do well in this class, you need to pay attention to what's happening in the front of the room, not the back."
Tyree turned around and left Darryl alone for the rest of class. At lunchtime, remembering his promise to Mrs. Davis, Darryl decided to look for Harold. After buying a slimy brown slab of meatloaf, he scanned the cafeteria. In a far corner, he noticed a boy hunched over a plastic tray, eating alone. It was Harold. Darryl was happy to see the lonely boy. Without him, he too would have to endure another lunch alone. Now, at least he could walk, knowing where he was going. As he approached the table, he hoped Harold would like him.
"Anybody sitting here?" Darryl asked.
Harold glanced up in surprise.
"No. Sit down."
Darryl pulled up a chair and sat across from Harold.
"Finally," he thought, "I'm not alone."
He looked over at Harold. The boy was taller than Darryl, but slightly overweight. He had his grandmother's soft, round face. Harold did not look at him. He seemed afraid to make eye contact.
"My name is Darryl Mercer," Darryl said.
"I'm Harold," the boy said nervously. "Harold Davis."
Darryl wanted to talk to Harold, but he could not think of anything to say. Then he looked at his lunch.
"Man, what is this stuff?" he asked,
picking up a hunk of the soggy meat.
"It looks like a piece of my shoe."
Harold smiled. "Your shoe probably tastes better than this," he said, flicking a chunk of meat into a white glob of mashed potatoes. Both boys laughed. At first it was nervous laughter, but then it grew more relaxed. They started talking about the school and the teachers they had. After lunch, they walked together to their next class, algebra. In class, Darryl saw Amber Lynn again. This time she smiled and said hi to him.
"Things are definitely better today than they were yesterday," Darryl thought.
But he still had to get through gym. As the time for the class drew closer, Darryl could feel knots in his stomach. By the time the bell rang, his hands were trembling. Darryl went to the locker room as quickly as possible. He wanted to get changed before everyone else arrived. As soon as he changed, he headed into the gymnasium to wait for Mr. Dooling.
"This is it," Darryl thought. "This is where Tyree is going to get me for not meeting him this morning."
Tyree and Rodney came out of the locker room a few minutes later. Mr. Dooling had not come out yet.
"There's that little punk that didn't show up this morning. You better have something for me, or those oranges ain't going to be the only things that get crushed."
Tyree's voice was loud, and other students turned to watch what was happening.
"I told you last night, I ain't got no money," Darryl replied.
Just then, Mr. Dooling arrived with his attendance sheet. Tyree quickly moved away. "Today, we're continuing your conditioning. We'll jog like yesterday, only now we're adding one extra lap around the track," Mr. Dooling said. Many students groaned.
Don't worry, it's not a race. I want everyone to run at a good, steady pace. Let's go. Again, the class headed outside and started jogging. Within a few minutes, the crowd of runners spread out. Like the day before, Darryl watched over his shoulder as Tyree and Rodney closed in on him.
Look at those legs, man. That boy runs like a chicken, Rodney said, getting nearer. That boy is a chicken, Tyree said.
The two boys jogged right up behind him. Darryl tried to ignore them. Again, he figured as long as he stayed near Mr. Dooling, he would be safe. But as the class began the second lap, Darryl noticed Mr. Dooling had stopped. He was talking to another gym teacher who was also outside with her class. Darryl did not know what to do. He decided to run faster.
Look at that midget go, Tyree said. You better keep running, boy, because if you stop, you might not run again for a long time.
Darryl sprinted as fast as he could. The three boys had moved towards the front of the pack of runners, but Darryl could not keep the pace. He knew he was not as fast as Tyree or Rodney. He was already out of breath, and his heart was pounding. Darryl looked over his shoulder and saw Mr. Dooling in the distance, gradually beginning to catch up. He still did not know what to do. Then he felt a sharp kick against his ankle. The blow knocked Darryl's feet out from under him. He flailed his arms out and fought to catch his balance, but Tyree kicked at his legs again. This time, Darryl tumbled to the ground, scraping his knees against the rough track surface. Other kids jumped to avoid stepping on him. A few laughed as they passed.
That boy is clumsy, Tyree said as he ran away.
Darryl wanted to scream. Tyree did it. Tyree Hobbs kicked me. When Mr. Dooling caught up to him, but he only gritted his teeth and rubbed his ankle. He knew not to tell on Tyree. That would only make his torment even worse.
Take a rest, Mercer, Mr. Dooling said as he jogged by. Pace yourself better next time. I told you this is not a race. By the time Darryl was ready to begin running again, the class was heading back to the locker rooms. Some went right to the showers. Others changed quickly and waited for the final bell to ring so they could go home. Darryl was worried. He was one of the few people who had not changed back into his clothes. He knew he stood out more than ever. Quickly, he hurried to his locker. Just as he opened the metal door, a large hand reached over his shoulder and yanked his clothes out. Darryl knew it was Tyree. Rodney was standing on the other side of him, blocking anyone else's view of what was happening.
Give me my clothes, Darryl exclaimed. Fool, these are mine, Tyree shouted. What are you doing? You some kind of thief or something?
He asked. Then he and Rodney moved into the crowd waiting by the door. Darryl knew that other kids had seen what had happened, but none were willing to stick up for him.
Those are my clothes,
Darryl said, following behind Tyree. Many of the kids standing by the door turned to look at Darryl. A few started laughing and making snorting noises. Tyree managed to squeeze himself into the front of the crowd nearest the door. Darryl could see his clothes under Tyree's arm. Then the bell rang. Within minutes, the entire locker room cleared out, and Darryl found himself completely alone. The only clothes he had were the t-shirt and shorts he was wearing.
I don't want to walk home this way, Darryl thought.
He knew he would end up passing Tyree and his friends on the way home from school, and they would laugh as soon as they saw him. Darryl sat down on a bench in front of his locker. He wanted to wait until the hallways were empty so fewer people would see him in his gym clothes. Just then, he heard a door open, and Mr. Dooling walked in.
What's the matter with you, Mercer? Mr. Dooling asked. Why aren't you dressed?
Darryl hesitated for a minute. He was too embarrassed to admit the truth.
I guess somebody picked up my clothes by mistake, he said. I can't find them.
Mr. Dooling shook his head.
Well, you can't stay here. See if you can find something to wear in this basket.
Then get going, he said, handing him a basket filled with musty clothes that students had left in the locker room and never claimed. Darryl rummaged through the basket and found a pair of jeans that fit him. After changing, He went to his locker, picked up the books he needed, and headed out of the school. In a dumpster along the side of the building, he saw his clothes. They were covered with orange peels and ice cream sandwich wrappers. Darryl felt as if his head would explode. He could not take this anymore. He wanted to scream. Instead, he yanked his dirty clothes out of the dumpster and walked home. Darryl was grateful his mother was not home when he got there. It gave him time to dump his dirty clothes into the washer without her asking questions. Then he went to his room, hid the jeans he took from gym under his bed, and did more push-ups.
I can't keep running from Tyrae, Darryl thought.
He knew that Tyrae would corner him sooner or later, and he knew the next time would be worse. The only solution he could think of was to give Tyrae his lunch money.
I don't want to give him mom's money, he thought, but what choice do I have?
Darryl figured out how much money he could spare. If he did not buy any drinks at lunch, he could give Tyrae 50 cents a day.
Would that be enough to stop him?
That evening when his mother came home, Darryl pretended to be doing homework. He could not face her knowing that he was going to give her hard-earned dollars to a kid he hated. He didn't want her to know what a weak, frightened boy her son was. The next morning, Darryl walked on the main street to Blueford. He knew Tyrae would confront him, but at least it would happen when he expected it. Although he hated the idea of giving Tyrae money, he was tired of being terrorized in school, and he just wanted to put an end to it as soon as possible. Darryl was not surprised when he spotted Tyrae and his friend standing near the supermarket.
"Look who it is," Rodney said, watching Darryl's approach. "There's the punk who's been hiding from me," Tyrae said. "Boy, you better have some money for me, 'cause I've lost all my patience with you."
He walked over to Darryl and stared down into his face.
"What you got, fool?"
he asked.
"Me and my mom don't have much money," Darryl whimpered. "I can give you 50 cents a day."
50 cents?
Rodney and Tyrae laughed. Darryl cringed.
"Boy, you're gonna have to do better than that. I can't even buy a soda on that. You give me the $2 you pay for lunch every day, you hear? That's cheap enough for you and your poor mama,"
Tyrae said, pushing his chest against Darryl's. Darryl fumed inside. No one had the right to call his mother poor, even if it was true.
"But I won't be able to eat lunch," Darryl said. "I need money to eat."
"Boy, if you mess with me, you won't have teeth left to eat anything,"
Tyrae yelled, grabbing Darryl by the top of his shirt.
"Now listen up. You meet me here every Friday morning. You give me $10, and Rodney and me will be a little nicer to you. If you forget to pay one time, I'll bust you in half. If you tell anyone about this, I'll put your skinny butt in a cast. You got that?"
Darryl nodded.
"I'll see you here on Friday, Darryl Mercer. You and my money,"
Tyrae said with a smirk. Then he and Rodney slapped hands and started laughing. Darryl went on to school. He never felt worse about himself. He had always been picked on, but never in his life did he pay someone to leave him alone. Darryl wondered what Malik would say if he knew what he was doing. In English, Tyrae went to his desk in the front of the room without bothering Darryl. Only once did he look back. This time, instead of threatening Darryl, Tyrae rubbed his fingers together as if he were holding money. Then he mouthed the word Friday without making a sound. Darryl knew what he meant. Tyrae was warning him not to forget.
"Tyrae and Darryl, do you two have something to share with this class?" Mr. Mitchell asked suddenly, surprising Darryl. Darryl shook his head.
"I don't think Darryl should have to share with anyone. Just look at how little he is. He needs to keep everything for himself,"
Tyrae said, acting sincere and innocent. The class chuckled at his comment. Darryl wanted to hide under his desk. He just sat there, motionless.
"Tyrae, if you have any other helpful comments, you are welcome to share them with me after school today," Mr. Mitchell said dryly.
"Sorry, sir,"
Tyrae said, turning around to face the chalkboard.
After class, as Darrell gathered his books, Mr. Mitchell approached him.
Darrell, is everything all right? You seem like you have a lot on your mind.
I'm still getting used to it here. It's a lot different from Philly, Darrell said.
Look, Darrell, I know what it's like to be new in a high school. It's not easy. If you ever need someone to talk to, I'm right here. You know where you can find me.
Thanks, Darrell replied mechanically.
Darrell knew Mr. Mitchell was trying to help, but he could not bring himself to talk to the teacher. Back home, Darrell and his friends made it a rule never to bring adults into their problems, especially teachers. Now, Darrell wasn't so sure.
Thanks again, he said as he left Mr. Mitchell's classroom.
On Friday morning, Darrell headed to the supermarket parking lot with $10. The four-block walk from home felt like the longest walk he had ever taken. Each step required great effort, as if his feet were made of concrete. Even the money in his pockets felt uncomfortably heavy, and every muscle in his legs and back felt slow and achy. It was as if his body was quietly protesting what he was doing. Darrell knew that paying Tyree was wrong. The shame and guilt he felt for giving his mother's money to a bully swept over him in unending waves. What kept him going was the hope that Tyree and Rodney would stop hurting him, that he would be able to walk through Bluford without feeling threatened. A few minutes after he arrived at the supermarket parking lot, Darrell spotted Tyree and Rodney coming towards him. Tyree led the way. He was smoking a cigarette. Both boys eyed Darrell as they approached.
"What you got for me, little man?"
Tyree asked. He threw his cigarette down, walked directly in front of Darrell, and blew a cloud of smoke into his face. The smoke stung Darrell's eyes and caused him to cough for a few seconds. Tyree smirked. Then Rodney mumbled something, and both boys chuckled. Quickly, Darrell reached into his pocket and pulled out 6 $1 bills and a handful of change. When they saw the change, Tyree and Rodney looked at each other and started laughing.
"That boy must have robbed his mama's piggy bank to pay us," Tyree said between fits of laughter.
Darrell looked down in shame. Because he had spent some of his mother's money earlier in the week on lunch, he only had $6 to give to Tyree. To make up for what he had spent, Darrell had taken money from his old change jar. He barely had enough coins to add up to the remaining $4. Tyree took the money from his hands.
"Darrell Mercer, you are the sorriest punk in all of Bluford. Ain't no one else there who's as small, dumb, and poor as you."
The words were like sharp knives. Darrell knew they were true. He opened and closed his eyes to hold back tears. He could feel Tyree and Rodney looking at him, judging him.
"Mommy, the kids are being mean to me again. Nobody likes me here. I think I'm going to cry,"
Tyree whined. His voice was high-pitched and raspy like the sound of screeching brakes on an old city bus. As he spoke, Tyree twisted his face into a look of mock sadness and pretended to sob uncontrollably. Rodney howled in laughter. Then both boys slapped hands and turned back towards Darrell. A crooked smirk spread across Tyree's face. Darrell hated them. He hated the power they had over him. He hated that they knew what hurt him most. But more than anything else at this moment, Darrell hated the smirk on Tyree's face. It was vicious, ripping through Darrell as sharply as any insult. Through Tyree, Darrell saw how pathetic he was to the rest of the world. He saw something else, too, something that frightened Darrell as much as it enraged him. In Tyree's gleaming eyes, Darrell saw the bully's pleasure in humiliating him. Tyree's smirk made Darrell want to crawl into a hole and never see another person again.
"Next time I want dollar bills, not change, you hear me?"
Tyree said, poking his finger forcefully into Darrell's chest.
"Or else you'll be swallowing your own teeth," he threatened.
Darrell nodded. He could not look into Tyree's face. The shame hung on him like a weight tied to his chin, forcing his head down and his eyes to stare at the ground. Silently, Darryl turned around and walked towards Bluford. Behind him, he heard Tyree and Rodney resume their laughter. At one point, Darryl thought he heard Rodney say, "Stupid fool." He did not turn back. With each day that passed at Bluford, Darryl hoped things would get better, but they never changed. Every day, he lived with the fear of Tyree and the shame of paying him. The stress took its toll on his schoolwork. Darryl could not concentrate on anything, and his grades reflected it. Even in subjects he once got B's in, Darryl was now getting C's. But grades were just part of his problem. In school, Darryl could not look into the eyes of his peers. He was sure most kids at Bluford knew he was giving away his mother's money, and he feared they would laugh at him just as Tyree did on Friday. He wondered if anyone else from Bluford was watching when Tyree grabbed the money from him and gloated. The second time Darryl paid him, Tyree forced him away with a violent shove. Darryl left the parking lot quickly, hoping no one would see him, but he was sure someone did, and they must have told the rest of the school. "Girls must know what I'm doing," he said to himself. "That's why they won't even look at me." The only girl at Bluford who Darryl had really talked to was Amberlynn, but even she seemed to speak to him less. "She must know too," he thought. He figured she did not want to talk to a coward. The only other person at Bluford Darryl really knew was Harold, but one day Harold was sick and missed school, and Darryl sat at lunch alone again. Darryl knew he had to do something, and he needed to do it soon. At home, things were not much better. His mother, caught up in her new job, never questioned Darryl when he told her school was fine. She did not seem to notice that Darryl was packing lunches either. He wondered if she noticed how quickly the peanut butter and jelly disappeared. One time she asked him if his appetite had increased. "Yeah, Mom," he said. "I'm hungry all the time." He could not tell her the truth, that he was bringing lunch to school and saving her money for his Friday payment to the bully. "You know what it means when your appetite increases, Darryl?" she asked. "It means you're getting your growth spurt. Soon you'll look like your Uncle Jason." Darryl was glad she was happy, but he felt guilty allowing her to believe such a lie. "You have no idea what is happening to me," he thought as she smiled at him, but he said nothing. Darryl knew that now, more than ever, he was completely alone. That is when he decided to take up Mr. Mitchell's offer. He knew the English teacher might have forgotten or not meant what he said, but Darryl did not know what else to do. The more he thought about Tyree and his own slipping grades, the more he realized he had to speak to someone. On the last school day before Thanksgiving weekend, Darryl headed for Mr. Mitchell's classroom. Darryl had just left his last class and was moving quickly, eager to catch Mr. Mitchell before he left. He was grateful to find the teacher at his desk. "Mr. Mitchell," Darryl said, "you got a minute?"
"Yeah, sure, Darryl," Mr. Mitchell said. "Have a seat."